Apparently it's Shannon Carter. I'm not sure. Is that like the name of the girl who was like the the one in the A Next and Hello and welcome to the WIP, the What If podcast that's a work in progress. I am your host, the Serendipitous, the Slim James. I'm always being found when I don't intend to be. The What If podcast is a roundabout roundup, i.e. non-linear review, of Marvel's What If comics and general comic talk, and we are the only show that dares to ask, what if marshmallows had never existed? Well, Lucky Charms would just be sugary cat food, hot chocolate would just have to settle for whipped cream, but a lot of candy companies probably wouldn't notice. In fact, when Easter rolled around, they wouldn't make a peep. Hello. Also, if marshmallows never existed, the Ghostbusters would just have to fight a giant man. But not giant man. Not Hank Pym. Hey, speaking of Hank Pym, segue, he did the Ultron. And speaking of the Ultrons, it's week 4 of Marvel's What If Age of Ultron miniseries. It's What If Captain America Had Never Existed. In the previous weeks, I've discussed the Age of Ultron what-ifs, examining if in this multi-part crossover from last year, rather than Hank Pym being wiped from the timeline by time-traveling Wolverine and the Invisible Woman, if it was some other Avenger that had been wiped clean, or wiped from the timeline, as it were. So, this one asks, what if Captain America had never existed, or rather, had died at some point in time? They put this out. Cap's been big business lately. Winter Soldier, aka Summer Sausage, has been doing an incredible tear. It's like been number one multiple weeks in a row, which is, you know, something to say for movies, because usually they're just bing, bang, boom, blockbuster, blockbuster, blockbuster. But it's got stay in power, which, you know, and the fact that Captain America is actually popular now seems kind of incredible to me, because I grew up in the 90s. The early 90s, Captain America was struggling for relevancy. Maybe not in the comic book universe, because he's always sort of the alpha dog. He's the focal point of the universe. Sure, Human Torch and Submariner might have come first, but come on, we all know it's Captain America, who's the grandfather of the Marvel Universe. But no, in pop culture, or, you know, in comic book pop culture, basically Saturday morning cartoons. We had Spider-Man, we had X-Men, we had the Marvel Action Hour, Fantastic Four and Iron Man, the crummy UPN series, Hulk, the doomed-to-fail Silver Surfer series late in the cartoon game. But Captain America, no love. They didn't care about, you know, some old guy who was battling Nazis in World War II and just slinging a shield around now. But these days, kids can't get enough of it. So USA, USA. And actually, that just reminds me, like, the struggle for Captain America to get, like, a modern action figure. They had, like, the Secret Wars in the 80s, and then the it's called Marvel Superheroes, whatever, in, like, like 1990 or whatever. It's good enough. I had one. In fact, I had both Captain America and the Captain America repainted as the U.S. agent. It was repainted even though he had a star molded on his chest. Just slap some paint over it, and boom. It's the U.S. agent. Kind of like what they did with the U.S. agent in the comic books. Hey, just recolor the costume. We got a new character. But Cap is back. But this issue ponders, what if he wasn't? So we open on Cap being pulled out of the ice. But instead of being resuscitated, the far more likely scenario occurs, and he's just dead. We get a quick flash of alternate universe Caps. In the previous issues, we'd seen, you know, alternate costume Wasp, multiple iterations of Iron Man armor. I guess Thor was technically in a couple different versions, although it was less prevalent. But here, we see alternate, possibly future slash past Caps. We have classic Golden Age with the pointy shield and maybe the neck piece of his cowl missing. Earth X Captain America, aka Bruce Willis Captain America, and Cap Wolf, Captain America Werewolf. Yes, it happened. And, you know, there's a what if for you. What if Captain America had remained a werewolf? Kids these days take a liking to the lichens, right? I don't know. So our story is Iron Man tries to cover up Cap's death to keep hope alive that he's out there somewhere. But when news of Cap's death ultimately gets out, it extinguishes the hope of Captain America's return. And it also diminishes the hope, their faith in the Avengers for lying about the thing in the first place. So things are grim, and we can tell that because the Capitol building is shown being blowed up. Basically, a non-specific chaos grips the country. All these superheroes run around. You don't have the captain of the ship, so to speak. So, you know, probably Hail Hydra. We jump forward in time, and Frank Castle, the Punisher, he's called upon to be the new Captain America. But as I remember, as a what-if aficionado, as a whiffer, as it would be, they already did it in What If number 51, volume 2, of course. And What If 51 seems to me to be one of those back issues that costs too much. It's like $4, maybe $8. Some people go crazy on it on eBay. And it's like, is there actually demand for this issue? You know, price is scarcity plus demand, not just scarcity. But, you know, I have it because, obviously, I collect all of the What Ifs. I think I read it. It was fine. We'll get into that in a separate episode. These are just focused on the Age Ultron ones. All that being said, I will give Marvel the benefit of the doubt for rehashing this, because that came out, you know, what, 20 years ago? Something like that. Probably not a lot of people beyond geeks like yourself, like myself, maybe yourself too, remember this issue, or even know it exists. And there was also the brief Punisher cap that was floated around when Steve Rogers got shot in the head or was living in 1602 or whatever that thing was. So this idea of Frank Castle as Captain America is not a foreign concept. Ultimately, Punisher has some misgivings, but he concedes, becomes Captain America, gets some super soldier serum, but, you know, Reed Richards just meddles with it, and he's, you know, super soldier. And, you know, he derides the costume. I look like an idiot. But he still dresses in it. We get a montage of Captain Punisher kicking some ass, including punting MODOK, and he's probably asking for it. And fighting Red Skull on the torch of the Statue of Liberty. America much? After Captain America's proven success, Tony Stark rolls out the Captain AmeriCorps. A cap in every state. America! Wouldn't this suffer from the law of diminishing returns? I mean, he's supposed to be a symbol of all that's right with America. Now we have multiple symbols who are right-ish with what's America-ish. I don't know. And, you know, the Reed Richard-produced, Tony Stark-mass-produced super soldier serum, it, you know, the whole thing with Captain America is they're like, oh my god, how do we replicate the super soldier serum? And, you know, we can't replicate it. But in the comic book universe, in spanning across time and continuity, we've seen countless other scientifically modified heroes way stronger than Captain America. And it just proves that, you know, the search for a super soldier serum is the U.S. government at work, failing to come to a less than optimal solution. I digress about the state of the Congress. So we flash forward. The Captain AmeriCorps is obviously successful, and we unveil the first international Captain America, Captain World, U.S. imperialism at its finest. And her name is Shannon Carter, so, you know, keeping it in the family. And some girl sees this, and she's talking with her friend, and she knows that a now-retired Frank Castle is living down the street, being old. But her friend is incredulous, and so Punisher, Frank Castle, Captain Punisher, throws a trash can lid at him and makes him fall down. You know, the old Punisher just would have shot the kid. He gives her a pep talk and shows her how to throw a trash can lid. They have a very long, obsessed conversation that she's trying to convince him to still be Captain America, maybe, or just tells him he still has it. It's really sort of weird because he's visibly old and aged, and it's like, what, I don't know what your game plan is. But he shows her the ropes, I guess. And we flash forward a few more years, and this girl becomes a Captain America in her own right, leading a team of Captain Americas with things that look like Spider Cap, Green Monster Cap, Diet Captain America, and Caffeine-Free Captain America. So, the end? Question mark? I don't know, we just... overall, this issue was a weird dialectic for me. First off, I'll just say the cover, it sort of fits in with the series of them. It's nothing too spectacular, but it's not bad. The art, it's sort of classic comic book, if that means anything. It's not too fancy or overshadowed or overdone. It's just sort of, here's a comic book, and here are some characters doing things. I don't mind. In fact, that's sort of the dialectic that is drawing out of me. On the one hand, the story is a little weak. A lot of ground is covered in flash-forwards and montages. We barely see Captain America slash Punisher in action. It's like three panels of him just kicking MODOK. Probably the best part was Tony Stark convincing Frank Castle to be Cap, saying, like, you need to be the Captain America for America as it is, not as it once was. He's the grizzled Captain America, the one who's, you know, willing to do what it takes. Although you don't see him shooting anybody, and he turns pretty soft, so, you know. The legions of Captain America are pretty cheesy, and it seems like a bit pro-America imperialists. Like, how fried do you want your freedom? You know, it's clearly up to America to solve the world's problems by just shipping out some red, white, and blue. To that end, it does sort of satisfy one of my favorite what-if tropes, boatloads of superfluous costume redesigns. So we get red, white, and blue all over the place in all configurations. And in that respect, and with the sort of the classic comic book art, it feels like a throwback what-if to me. So even though the story might be a little weak, it's sort of in a good way. It's kind of like a McDonald's cheeseburger. It's warm and comforting, even if the substance is a little meh. So overall, if you're a fan of what-ifs, and like you've read a lot of them like me, and you sort of like the cheesiness factor of it, this one I would give a recommend. It sort of it brings you back. It's the Pepperidge Farm, the Werther's original of comic books. But in closing, the prevalence of Captain America clones in this issue brings to mind another issue that across the Marvel Universe in history, there have already been an existing Captain America Corps, as it would be. Multiple heroes just drenched in red, white, and blue. We got the leader, Captain America, his knockoff, U.S. Agent, Spirit of 76 is there, the Patriot, the Super Patriot, who would be go on to be a U.S. Agent, I know, Bucky, the black guy who was Bucky, I think there was like a team of Buckies, some right-winger, left-winger, which I doubt that guy's really a left-winger, Iron Patriot, and of course the one to top them all, Jack Flag, with his Jubilee-containing plasma-shooting boombox. There you have it. So really, if you're just struggling to come up with a character design, just slap the American flag on it. So in closing, I will remind you that the WIP What If Podcast is on theslimjames.com, giantsizedcomicthings.com, at theslimjames, at giant_size, Whip it, WIPIT. It's not Devo, and it's not getting high on whipped cream. The WIP is on iTunes and on Stitcher. We got some videos on YouTube, although they're more like slideshows. Same thing's up on Vimeo, if you, for some reason YouTube's not good enough for you, or maybe too good. So remember, go out there and find us, and don't spend the rest of your life asking, what if?